The Philadelphia Church of God presents The Life and Teachings of Jesus Christ with Stephen Fleury.
Now, when you turn to that way and turn away from your own way, you're no longer a sinner. And then if you ask God to forgive you, He'll hear you. Then if you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, He'll come in and He'll live His life in you. But do you see why Jesus Christ can't come into your heart? He can't come into your life until you have forsaken your way, until you have forsaken your thoughts, until you've turned around willing to go the way of the Bible. I'll tell you why. Because if Jesus Christ comes into you and you're not saved, and He's not your Savior unless Christ is dwelling in you, and if Christ is dwelling in you, He will live the same kind of life in you that He lived on this earth 1900 years ago. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, if He is in you, and will be tomorrow and forever. Now, He is the living Word. He kept His Father's commandments. And if you don't forsake your ways, He can't. He has got to live your life for you, and you let Him live it. Like Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. It was not Paul living his life, it was Christ living it for him. And Christ can't live your life for you as long as you're stubborn and rebellious, going your way, because His ways are not your ways, and you've got to forsake your ways and turn around and be willing to let Him live your life for you His way, which is the way of the Bible.
Yes, indeed. Jesus Christ is our Savior, but as you heard there, that's Herbert Armstrong from the late 1970s talking about the living Christ, our living Savior. Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Life and Teachings of Jesus Christ. On this program, we carefully examine the only reliable source there is when it comes to Jesus Christ and His teachings, and that would be the Holy Bible. You have to look to the Bible. The Bible is Jesus Christ in print. You heard Herbert Armstrong there talking about the verse that the Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians 2:20, where he said, I'm crucified with Christ. I have died with Christ. Yet, nevertheless, I live. But Christ, it's not me living, it's Christ living in me. Jesus Christ living in you. This is how Paul was able to live unto God. This is how Paul was able to serve God in the work. This is how he was able to serve Jesus Christ. It's like Mr. Armstrong said there. I mean, you have to get your stubborn ideas and views and ways out of the way, so that Christ can come into your life and live the same way that He did over 2,000 years ago. Let's just take you to one more clip from Herbert Armstrong. This is from his World Tomorrow series, clip 2.
Now, if you are unable to keep the commandments of God, let me tell you, my friends, Christ in you can keep the commandments. Because Christ didn't keep them, and He's the same today as He was yesterday and will be forever. And Christ in you is the only hope of glory. And as the Apostle Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, and yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I live by the faith of, not my faith in, but the faith of the Son of God, Christ's faith put in Him. That's the only faith that will save you.
Jesus Christ's faith in you. Again, he cites that verse in Galatians 2. And verse 20. Now, there's a lot of preachers that say you can't possibly keep or obey the commandments of God. It's impossible. So why bother trying? Well, in a recent program, I took you back to Matthew 19, where, you know, the young man asked about what should I do to inherit the kingdom of God? And Christ said, well, keep the commandments. Well, I've been doing that since the days of my youth. And Jesus said, all right, give up everything you have and come and follow me. And he couldn't do it. He wasn't really keeping the commandments. He certainly wasn't keeping the first and great commandment. And the disciples, they marveled. They said, well, if this man can't be saved, who can be? And Christ said, with men, it's impossible. By human might or strength, it is impossible to obey the commandments of God. But with God, in this case, with God in you, with Christ in you, You can keep the commandments. Jesus Christ will live the same way that he did 2,000 years ago. Notice Romans 5 and verse 10. We went to this verse on a recent program as well, but it's worth repeating. It says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, reconciled to the Father by the death of Christ," it says, "much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Again, you don't hear that from preachers today, not like you should. Saved by the life of Christ? Most people assume we're saved by his death. That's not what the scriptures say. We are saved, or we shall be saved, by his life. Jesus Christ lives. He lives. This booklet we're offering today, the book of Hebrews, my father wrote this some years ago, and you can see the subhead there, what Jesus Christ is doing today. I mean, most Christian denominations represent Christ as, you know, a little helpless infant or someone that's hanging dead on a stake. But what is Christ? Christ, after all, was resurrected. So what is he doing today? He lives. He's our living Savior. We're saved by his life. You've got to read that in Romans 5 and verse 10. I just read it to you. Make sure you get your Bible and you read along. Don't just take my word for it. I mean, blow the dust off your Bible, as Herbert Armstrong often said, and see what God inspired in his word. Notice what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 2. He says, "I know a man in Christ above 14 years ago." He talks about this, this vivid vision that he had at his conversion. But he prefaces it by saying, "I know a man in Christ." Throughout Paul's writings, you see references often to him living in Christ and Christ living in him. That's how you follow in the steps of Jesus Christ. To Paul, Jesus Christ was not a dead Savior. He was not some kind of dead preacher who disappeared from the scene and then the others were sort of left to go it alone. Christ is the living head of the church. There's many verses I could get into on that subject. Jesus Christ, the head of God's church, God's family. Acts 17, verse 27. This is Paul when he was speaking at Athens before a lot of very educated philosophers, the elites of the day in Athens. It says that they should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. I mean, you've got to seek after him. He is not far from us. The problem with man today is that we're far away from God. But he's not far from us if we'll just seek after him. Notice it says in verse 28, "For in him we live." That's Paul saying, in Christ we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said. For we also are his offspring. Offspring, that's children, family. That's another subject, another theme that you read about throughout the New Testament. I mean, the teaching is there in the Old Testament too. But God is a family. In him we live. In Christ we live. In God we live. If you run a search on the words in Christ, I mean, at several dozen times that it appears in the New Testament, I can give you a few examples. Romans 8 and verse 1 says, "They which are in Christ Jesus." Romans 9 and verse 1, "I say the truth in Christ." It talks about the body. We're one body in Christ. Christ is the head of the body. Paul talks about that more in 1 Corinthians 12. One body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 10, it says, "We are wise in Christ." I mean, I could just go on and on. There's so many examples. What does it mean to live in Christ? The reason why Paul, and we have a class on the epistles of Paul here at Armstrong College, And the reason why his ministry, Paul's ministry, was so productive and dynamic and miraculous is because it was actually the ministry of Jesus Christ all over again. It was Christ in Paul, as we just read in 2 Corinthians. Jesus Christ lived in the Apostle Paul. Notice again what Herbert Armstrong said in his World Tomorrow series, clip 3.
Now, they weren't able to keep that law according to that spirit in those days, because you can't do that, my friends, without the Spirit of God. But let me tell you that Jesus did keep the law, and Christ in you can keep it. And it can be done if we become the children of God and are begotten of Him and have His Spirit within us. It can be done. With man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible.
There again, that's straight out of Matthew 19, verse 26. Christ in you can keep the law. And so you can't excuse your sins or justify those sins and say, well, I can't do it. Jesus did it all for me. Well, if Christ lives in you, is he going to be disobeying, rebelliously disobeying God's commands, doing his own thing, thinking his own thoughts? I mean, when he was here, he kept saying over and again, the thoughts that I have, the words that I speak, they're not mine. They're from my Father in heaven. I'm here to reflect his will, his view, his thoughts, his message. You know, it's not just the Apostle Paul. All the apostles of old, they were so spiritually minded and focused. They were courageous. They stood up for God's truth boldly. And at the same time, they were merciful and gracious. They were wise and discerning. They were passionate, zealous servants of God, ambitious for God and His work, service-oriented, very persuasive. I forget which Roman leader it was in the book of Acts that said to Paul, you know, you almost persuade me to be a Christian. Because this Roman leader, this tyrant, he looked at Paul, he saw the conviction, he saw how deeply he believed. And he thought, well, he respected it. He respected that. The reason these apostles of old were so spiritually switched on and dynamic in their service to God is because they lived in Christ. And Christ lived in them. They let the mind of Jesus Christ in. That's Philippians 2 and verse 5. Notice Hebrews 12. We'll start in verse 1. I mean, if you just look at your friendships, you could take this further and say, well, how do you get to know Christ and how do you let him in? How do you think more like God thinks? Well, how do you get to know anyone who's a close friend? You spend time with them. You talk to them. You have long conversations. You observe them. You look at their example. If you admire, you know, their strengths, you're looking at their example thinking, you know, I want to be more like that. That's the way we should be with Jesus Christ. We can't just have, you know, some token reference to Jesus and then think that that makes me religious. A student or a disciple of Christ, what does that actually mean? A disciple means student, as you know. And if you're a student looking at and following after the master, like that young man in Matthew 19 was unwilling to do, then you're following in his steps. You're following his example. You're looking at his character, his characteristics, the way he teaches, the way he works with people, the way he submits to God, the way he approaches his prayer life. And then you follow that, as 1 Peter 2:21 says that we should. Follow that example. Here in Hebrews 12, we'll start in verse 1. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us. Paul says, set aside those weights. Sin weighs us down. It burdens us. And the way to run faster is to set them aside so that we can really go in this race that we're in. Paul uses that analogy here in Hebrews 12. Notice verse 2. It says, looking unto Jesus. So we have a destination. We have a place that we're going, or a destination we're running after. We're looking to Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's the Apostle Paul in the book of Hebrews, talking about the resurrected Jesus Christ, who's sitting at the right hand of God. He is on God's heavenly throne, even as we speak. He is there. What is he doing? What is his job? Well, this book of Hebrews talks about Jesus Christ living to make intercessions for us. I mean, we're praying, we're drawing closer to God, and then there's Jesus, our advocate, our high priest, who's praying with us and for us and through us. If he lives in us, that's the reality. Here again, my father gets into that and so much more in this book of Hebrews booklet. Again, the subhead, what is Jesus Christ doing today? What's he doing? What's his job? What's his responsibility? He's not just dead. He hasn't just remained dead for 2,000 years. He was dead for 3 full days and 3 full nights. But today he lives. And as Paul says there, he's at the right hand of God. If you want to get to know Jesus Christ, here's another valuable tool that you should have in your library, your spiritual library, your Bible library, the Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. It's 36 lessons. And in going through each of those lessons, there's no cost, there's no obligation. But in going through that course, you'll get to know your Bible. You'll get to know Jesus Christ. You'll begin to see what he's doing today. God the Father and Christ the Son, look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, said Paul. In 1 John 5 and verse 12, it says, he that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. So it's Christ in you that gives you eternal life, that gives you spiritual life that leads to eternal life. Mr. Armstrong said some years ago, this means God injects his life, not only his life, but also his mind, and also his character, also his attitude of love, of cooperation, of giving, of concern for others, as much as concern for self. Selflessness. It says God is going to make us into his own children, into God's. I mean, that can only happen if Christ is living in us. Living in us, as you heard from Herbert Armstrong, the same way that he did 2,000 years ago. Paul said, referring to himself in the third person, I know a man in Christ. I know Christ is living in me. It's a deep subject, profound subject. Hebrews 2, verse 8, it says, you have put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. This is actually talking about the incredible human potential. God has put all things in subjection under our feet. I mean, he wants us to govern the universe. Not just this world, ultimately the whole universe. And we don't see that yet as a reality, but it's coming. What do we see right now? Well, verse 9 says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, for a little while lower, that's the meaning. Low, I mean, he was a human being. Philippians 2 brings this out. Flesh and blood, 100%. God in the flesh, for a little while lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. It was God's purpose and plan from the beginning that the Lamb would be slain from the foundation of this world to reconcile us to the Father, as we read over in Romans 5. But the plan of God doesn't stop with Jesus Christ on the stake. That's just the beginning. That's the beginning. Verse 17 in the Revised Standard Version, it says, "Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren, his family, in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make expiation for the sins of the people." The resurrected Christ became a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God. I mean, in many ways, that's what this booklet is about. What is Christ doing today? And all through the book of Hebrews, it talks about Christ as our high priest, the apostle of our profession, our intercessor. Notice verse 18, it says, "For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he's able to succor them that are tempted." The chapter 4 of Hebrews, we'll get there in just a second. But, I mean, he is our faithful high priest, and he knows what it's like to experience pain. He knows what it's like to struggle, to fight against sin. And so he can lead us. He can teach us. He can show us. He's our perfect example. He understands. He's sympathetic. And he can show us how to fight in this spiritual war we're in. My father writes in the Last Hour book. This is another book we have in our library if you want to request a free copy. But he says, "Jesus Christ came in human form and understands the pulls of the flesh. He knows the weaknesses of the human spirit and the flesh." It says, with that experience, he can help us get through to the Father in every detail. Are you serious about breaking through to God? Because Christ can help you. He has experience the Father doesn't have, and the Father wants to hear his point of view. They both want to be absolutely just. And so God will look to Christ. Christ has been in the flesh. Christ knows. They work together. They're harvesting souls. They're bringing children into the family of God. Notice Hebrews 4. And verse 14, it says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." We have this great high priest. He's living. Paul says, hold fast to that profession. Elsewhere, he calls it a vocation. I mean, this is your, spiritually, this is your profession in life, to get to know Christ, his teachings. As I say at the start of these shows, I mean, on this show, we look to the only reliable source of information there is when it comes to Jesus Christ and his teachings. And we've got to be passionate about those teachings. Verse 15 says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched." That just means to sympathize with the feeling of our infirmities or our weaknesses, "but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." He was tempted like we are, but he didn't sin. He showed us how to do it the right way. He showed us how to resist against sin. He showed us how to go the way of righteousness. Verse 16 in the Moffat, it says, "So let us approach the throne of grace with confidence." That's talking about approaching God and Jesus Christ and the throne of God in prayer. "Let us do it with confidence that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in the hour of need." I mean, we need help from God. We need help in our fight against sin. We need help to lay aside those sins that are like burdensome weights so that we can really run and look to Christ. And God is there. Christ is there to help us. They're not far from us. But we have to diligently seek after that relationship. In one of his old articles, Mr. Armstrong pinpointed two main reasons that we often lose our battles against sin, against those carnal pulls of the flesh. Firstly, he said, we've not fully known of this great divine source of power that we can call on at will. We're not tapping into the power of God, His Holy Spirit, the Spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. You can get to know God and that power if you draw near to Him. The second reason Mr. Armstrong outlined that we often lose our battles is because we neglect to call upon that supernatural power in time of need. We don't go to God. We don't cry out to God the way that Jesus did, the way that the prophets did, the way that the Apostle Paul did, Peter, all the rest of them. We have to tap into that divine source. I don't have time to go through Ephesians 2, but in Ephesians 2 it says, we're saved by grace through faith. A lot of preachers stop right there. Yeah, just saved by faith in Christ, they say. But keep reading. It says, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are His workmanship. It's not of human works. God doesn't want us boasting about our own pitiful accomplishments. He wants us to yield to Him. He's the master potter. We're His workmanship. Notice this final quote from 1980, an article by Herbert Armstrong. It says, brethren, if you will let God have His way in your life, then you will have begun to learn how to let Him fight your battles, solve your problems, and deliver you from so many troubles that you are suffering. Just let God have His way in your life. This booklet, the book of Hebrews, what Jesus Christ is doing today. This is about the living Jesus Christ. And don't forget about the Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course, and you can also subscribe to our monthly magazine, The Philadelphia Trumpet, if you're not a subscriber already. All of our literature, all of it, is offered without cost or obligation. That's all we have time for on today's show. We thank you for joining us, and we hope to see you next time.
Jesus Christ died for your sins, but now He lives. The living Christ is doing everything possible as your high priest, advocate, intercessor, to help you enter God's family. Request Gerald Fleury's free book, The Book of Hebrews, What Jesus Christ is Doing Today, to understand how Christ is both the author and the finisher of your salvation. Also enroll in the 36-lesson Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course to discover the astounding answers to all of life's most important questions. Understanding the priceless truth revealed in this detailed course is more important than anything else in your life. Join hundreds of thousands of Bible students who have learned how to build an unshakable spiritual foundation in the Bible. Blow the dust off your Bible and learn what the Scriptures actually teach about every subject. Fall in love with the Bible, God's instruction manual for mankind. All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request the Book of Hebrews and enroll in the Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. Order now.